chapter of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tomorrow I will be leaving Vrindavan. I get to give the Sunday lecture at the east of Kailash Temple. It's funny because I feel like I don't belong in Vrindavan, and yet I feel like I don't belong anywhere else but Vrindavan. Can anyone relate to that? Feel like I'm not qualified to be here. Anyone feel they're not qualified to be here? Who feels like they're qualified to be in Vrindavan? Who feels like they belong anywhere else? So I feel like I'm not qualified, but I don't belong anywhere else. So I have to take the consciousness of Vrindavan with me. I wonder, is it better to spend time in Vrindavan or spend time preaching in different parts of the world? The answer is yes. E, all of the above, both are true. So I will miss Vrindavan, but I will never forget it, and I will return. First, we will say the invocation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Kashyapa Uvacha, Putras Te Bhavita Bhadre Indra Hadeva Bandava Samvatsaram Vratam Idam Yadi Anjo Darayishas. Shri Kashyapa Uvacha, Putraste Bhavita Bhadre, Indra Hadeva Bandavaha, Samvatsaram Vratam Idam, Yadi Anjo Darishyasi. Shri Kashyapa Uvacha, Putraste Bhavita Bhadre, Indra Hadeva Bandavaha, Samvatsaram Vratam Idam, Yadi Anjo Darayishasi. Shri Kashyapa Uvacha, Putraste Bhavita Bhadre, Samvatsaram Vratam Idam, Yadi Anjo Darishyasi. First, we will read text 44 because it's connected to this, obviously. Iti Sanchita Bhagavan Maricha Kurunandanaha Uvacha Kinchit Gupita Atmanamcha Vigarhayan. Iti, thus. Sanchita, thinking. Bhagavan, the powerful Marichi Kashyapa Muni, Kurunandana, O descendant of Kuru, Uvacha spoke, Kinchit, somewhat, Kapita, angry. Atmanam, himself, cha, and, vigarayam, condemning. Translation, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Kashyapa Muni, thinking in this way, became somewhat angry, condemning himself. O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Kuru, he spoke to Diti as follows. Has anyone ever felt this regret and condemn themselves for actions they've done or things they've said? Yes? The point here that is being brought up is, we will see later in here, is how not to have to do that. Or at least, if we have to condemn ourselves, change our way and think more carefully the next time before we do something. We'll get into that after we read the text. Shri Kashyapa Uvacha Putraste Bhavita Bhadre Indra Hadiva Bandavaha Samvatsaram Vratam Idam Yadi Anjo Darishyasi. Sri Kapa, Sri Kashyapa Uvacha, Kashyapa Muni said, Putra, son, day your Bhavita will be, Bhadre, O gentle woman, Indraha, killer of Indra, or follower of Indra, Adeva Bandavaha, friend of the demons, or Deva Bandavaha, friend of the demigods, Samvatsaram, for a year, Vratam, vow, is an important word, Vratam, Idam, this, Yadi, if, Anja, properly, Dadishasi, you will execute. Translation. Kashyapa Muni said, my dear gentle wife, if you follow my instructions regarding this vow for at least 1 year, you will surely get a son who will be able to kill Indra. However, if you deviate from this vow of following Vaishnava principles, you will get a son who will be favorable to Indra. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Indraha refers to an asura who is always eager to kill Indra. An enemy of Indra is naturally a friend to the asuras. But the word Indraha also refers to one who follows Indra or who is obedient to him. When one becomes a devotee of Indra, he is certainly a friend to the demigods. Thus the words Indra Hadeva Bandavaha are equivocal, for they say, your son will kill Indra, but he will be very friendly to the demigods. If a person actually becomes a friend of the demigods, he certainly will not be able to kill Indra. Om Ajnana Timaranya Sagina Gina Salakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutali Shvayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadanti Shvapadantikam. Prabhupada, please help me to speak some of your words so that we can discuss this Bhagavatam very carefully and instructively. So again, the text, Kashyapa Muni said, my dear gentle wife, if you follow my instructions regarding this vow for at least 1 year, you will surely get a son who will be able to kill Indra. However, if you deviate from this vow of following Vaishnava principles, you will get a son who will be favorable to Indra. So this gives some equivocal points, and it shows that if she is not careful, she will get a different result. It shows that if you're friendly to the demigods or the devotees, then it's going to be difficult to want to harm the devotees or the demigods. Just by doing a little service for the devotees, one becomes favorable to Krishna and to the devotees. But then we think, how does this verse relate to us and the actions we would take in life? It should make us reflect that before we decide to speak things or ask for some benedictions or do some austerities or take endeavors that will bring some result, that we should consider carefully what is the most important part of our thoughts, our actions, our austerities, and our prayers. We have to think, is the most important thing, what is my intention? What is it that I am wanting to do? What is my desire? Is the most important part our practice that we are doing? Or is the most important part the result that we accomplish, the fruits of this endeavor? So consider these things carefully. I will ask you later which of these is the important one. Is it our intention, what we intend to do? Is it the practice that we perform? Or is it the results that we intend to accomplish? And of course, in this verse too, we also have to see what is the result if we deviate. In Bhagavad Gita, there are so many verses that say, if you do this practice, you will get this result. If you don't, you get that result. It's a very good cost to value ratio, as we say. Sometimes we may think the cost is twice as much of Krishna consciousness of something else. But if the value is 10 times as much, it's good. Whereas with the mode of passion, the cost doesn't seem so much. I get pleasure right away. But when the value is nothing, right? If I say, oh, they're selling you the product for, they say right now they are changing rupees for 66. I'll change rupees for 100. You give me the rupees now, and sometime later I will give you 100 rupees for the dollar. But then you never get it. You get cheated. So we have to see what is the real result, not just what we want. We have to consider before we do these austerities to get a result some of the things Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita. In the 17th chapter, Krishna has talked about austerities, like the austerity of mind is to have satisfaction. Sometimes that's hard because we want to go off to so many things. Anyway, satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence. Satisfaction is an austerity because we so much want to be the enjoyer, or at least the center of activities, that we don't care if we suffer to get it. Like Diti wants so badly to have a son to kill Indra that to get what she wants, she doesn't care if she has to suffer. That's why for many of us, satisfaction is an austerity. A person who is intoxicated is never satisfied, but it is a great austerity for him to give up the intoxication to become satisfied. But it is possible. Simplicity. What does sim mean? It means one. Duplicity is two. So if you say one thing and do another, that's duplicity. And that's what we're supposed to have, right? No, simplicity. Say what you mean what you say. Right? So simplicity, this can be an austerity. But it's much easier to say what you mean than try to think, well, I told different lies to which people, but I forget which lies. I asked one person this once. I said, do you sometimes tell so many lies you actually forget what the truth is? He says, yes, I actually do. This is not what's meant by this simplicity. Gravity, where we are well grounded, where we don't become disturbed. And, of course, purification of one's existence. So we should think about this when I'm doing the austerity. Am I trying to get the purification of my existence? What am I trying to get? And then before we offer prayers or speak to people, we have to remember the austerities of speech. Does anybody know one of these? We should not speak harshly. You give it to people in such a way that they can take it. You give them a little instruction. Depends on who they are. If someone was chanting 16 rounds and they went to 4 rounds, you say, oh, you should go back to 16. You were doing so well. And if they were only doing 1, then you say, oh, move to 3 or 4. You try to give them what they can take without agitating them. So that's one. There's 5 of them. What's another one? Truthful. We have to think, before I speak, it should be truthful. If it doesn't pass that, this is like the litmus test. If it's not truthful, that's the first one. We don't go any farther, right? We don't think, well, let's see if it's not agitating to others. That's important. But if it's not truthful, then it doesn't matter. So first is truthful. That's the most important. Because if it's not truthful, we don't go to the others. Then what else is important? Which one? If it's beneficial. Otherwise, I'm telling somebody something. It may not be agitating, but it's of no benefit to them. Then what is the use? So what are the other two? Pleasing. Oh, yes. But we'll put that one last. Pleasing. pleasing. And the last one it mentions is it must be based on scriptural evidence. So it means before we're speaking, we think, is it truthful? Is it going to be pleasing to others? Is it going to be to their benefit? Am I going to speak it in such a way that it's not agitating? Like Prabhupada says, you make a bold proposal in a humble way. I say, I need 30 crores of rupees to finish this temple. But if I could just get 10% from you, don't worry, I'll get the rest somewhere else. Now, I just asked you for 3 crores of rupees, but if I said, give me 1,000 rupees right now, that becomes worse. So Prabhupada says we can make a bold proposal, but do it in a humble way. So to be based on scripture, we must study some of these scriptures to see what's there, to see the benefits. You know, Krishna shows different benefits. Like when he speaks in Bhagavad Gita that in the 12th chapter, that you should have undying love for me at every moment, and then you'll return to me. He says, if you can't do that, then you can practice the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, and this will give you a desire to attain me. It's a benefit, but it's not as much as being totally devoted. And if you can't do that, then you at least work for Krishna, karma yoga, and this will get you situated on the path. Or at least do some non-selfish activities, he says, and this will keep you self-situated. So each one has a little less work, but a little less benefit also. So before we take these actions and austerities, we have to consider which of the things are important. And we can look in the Vedic histories at some other people and the actions and austerities they took and what kind of results and success they got. Hiranyakashipu. He got all the good benedictions. He did some great austerities. He was very successful at these austerities. And so Brahma came to him and he asked benedictions from Brahma. He figured out a way to never die. He says, I don't want to be killed in the day or the night. I don't want to be killed on the land or in the air. I don't want to be killed inside or outside. I don't want to be killed by a man or a beast, and I don't want to be killed by anything live or dead. So his austerity seemed to work out pretty well because he was in charge of the whole universe. He was able to defeat the demigods, and everything was going well for him. And he says, I've got it made because I can't be killed by the man or the beast in the day or the night, in the land or the air, so I'm safe, aren't I? And it's true, he wasn't killed in any of those ways. He was killed by Lord Nrisingadev, who's not a man or a beast. It was a twilight, it's in the doorway, not inside or outside. He killed him with the nails. So when we think we have Krishna tricked, it may not work out so well. Brahma went to trick Krishna. If Brahma had tricked Krishna, the 13th chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam or Krishna book would be called Krishna Vimohan Leela. But it's not called that. Why? Because Krishna was not put into illusion, Brahma was. So what is the chapter called? Brahma Vimohan Leela. Brahma was trying to write the chapter Krishna Vimohan Leela, but it didn't work out quite that way. So we look at some other people who did some actions and austerities. What about the great king Nriga? The great king Nriga was a demigod. He was on a heavenly planet, and he was doing some great karmakanda activities. He would give away so many cows to the Brahmins. And these were cows that had only given birth to one calf, and they were given with silk wrappers, and they were not, the Brahmins were also given land and gold, and if they were unmarried, they were given a wife. So it seems like King Nriga really had it covered because he was getting so many pious activities from giving cows and property and wives and gold to the different Brahmins. And this was all working out so well until one day, one of the cows he'd given to a brahmana, wandered back into King Nriga's own herd. So then King Nriga gave this cow to a second brahmana. When the first brahmana saw that the second brahmana was taking away the cow given to him, he became very angry. He says, "Why are you stealing my cow?" Second brahmana says, "No, this cow was given to me by King Nriga." And the first brahmana says, "No, it was given to me by King Nriga." And they each said, "This is a very special cow. I only want this cow." So King Nriga came along and they said, "You have taken back the cow from one brahmana and given it to another." King Nriga says, "No problem. I'll give 100,000 other cows to each of you." And that solved the problem, right? No. Sounds good. Just like Hiranyakashipu sounded good. Brahmas also sounded good. I mean, he hid away the calves and the cows. Looked good for a while. So they said they would not accept any other cow. So King Nriga did many things that were pious. But when he died, he went before Yamaraj. And Yamaraj told him that you have a choice. You can take the results of your pious activities or the results of your impious activities. He's thinking, well, I have so many pious activities. If I take the results of my impious activities, I'll get them out of the way and that'll be the best, correct? No, it wasn't correct. He got his impious activities first and he took birth as a lizard. Of course, good part was, in Dwarka, the young children there found a lizard in a well. And they asked Krishna to come and see this lizard. And Krishna reached in and grabbed the lizard out, and the lizard turned back into King Nriga, and King Nriga explained the story. So for a while he regretted being a lizard, but after he was touched by Krishna, everything became okay. So did his pious activities save him, or did Krishna save him? The touch of Krishna seemed to be better even than the pious activities. It relieved him from the impious activities. So we see the results of these different activities. And it helps us to see what is important and what is not as important. When Krishna went to the kingdom of Mithila, this is coming up to the time when Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra. And at the kingdom of Mithila, he met two individuals, the king Bahulasva and a Brahmin named Shrutadeva. And they both wanted him to come for lunch at his house at the same time. No problem. Krishna expanded into two. If Krishna can expand into 108 forms to dance with gopis, or 16,108 to be with the wives of Dwarka, then he can expand into two forms to go to the house of Bahulasva, the king of Mithila, and to the Brahmin Shrutadeva. And when he went to the king's house, the king had very nice chairs and canopies and a beautiful setup and very nice marble floors. And they served him a sumptuous feast. At the same time, meanwhile, at the very same time, at the house of Shrutadeva, he had just little grass mats to eat off of and wooden planks to, the grass mats to sit on and the wooden planks to eat off of. And he made some simple things like rice and dal and some simple sabjis. And which one of those two was Krishna satisfied with? Both of them. Krishna was satisfied with both of them. And they both offered prayers to Krishna, which were very similar, because they each gave what they had. We see they each gave what they have, which is an important point there. We see a similar story to this, that when Lord Rama was building the great bridge to Lanka, Hanuman was throwing the stones in the water, and there was a squirrel in the way. He tells the squirrel. Sometimes it's called a spider, sometimes a squirrel. But there's kicking the dust into the ocean between Rameshwaram and Sri Lanka. And Hanuman says, move out of the way. I'm the mighty Hanuman, and I am helping Rama build the bridge to Lanka. And the squirrel says, I am trying to help build the bridge also. Hanuman says, what can you do? You're just a little squirrel. All you can do is kick some dust. And along came Lord Rama, and Lord Rama says, what are you doing? Hanuman says, this squirrel is in my way. I am trying to throw big boulders, and all he's doing is kicking a little dust. And Rama asks Hanuman, he says, Hanuman, where do you get your strength to do this big austerity of throwing boulders? He says, I get my strength from you, Lord Rama. So where does the squirrel get his strength? He also gets it from you. Then you're each working to your own capacity. So each of your work is equal. This also tells me that if all I can be is a squirrel and just kick some dust, at least I should be careful to kick the dust in the right place and not kick dirt all over myself and the other devotees. Sometimes we do this. All we can do is kick a little dirt. At least the dirt should be put in the right place. You know, if you're putting the dirt there to make the building secure, it's one thing, but it's different if you throw it on the devotees and yourself. It won't have a good result, right? So if all we can do is throw a little dirt, we should throw it in the right place. We think about the Brahmin Sudama. Now Sudama, after Krishna was in Mathura, after he'd killed King Kamsa, he was sent to the Gurukul, and the Brahmin Sudama was also in the Gurukul with him. And the Brahmin Sudama was very poor. And he and his wife could hardly eat. And his wife said to him, he said, why don't you go to see your friend Krishna in Dwarka? And you can get some benediction from him. He will give you something. He says, well, you know, I love Krishna so much, I don't want to ask anything from Krishna, and I don't have much to take. What can I take? So he had nothing of himself, but he borrowed from the neighbors some chipped rice and put it in a cloth, right? Not very nice. You know, the chipped rice is just you eat that when you're sick. You mix that with some yogurt, and you say, anything that tastes this bland has to be good for me, right? You chant that mantra. So it's not something very special. So Krishna's not going to like that, because he ate a big feast at the King Bahulasva's house, so he's not going to enjoy this chipped rice. So even though Sudama is impoverished, on the way to see Krishna in Dwarka, is he thinking about how impoverished he is and how he's going to go to get a benediction from Krishna? No, he's just thinking, I get to see Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is my old and dear friend that we went to Gurukul together. So when he went in to see Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna is of course busy with so many things, so Krishna must have forgotten their times with Sandipani Muni, right? No, the first thing he says is, here is my friend Sudama Brahman. And they fanned him and gave him nice things to eat, and Krishna was talking about how he and Sudama and some of the other schoolmates, they had gone out to collect firewood for their guru. And along came a big rainstorm, and they got stuck, and they had to spend the night in the forest. And the next day, Sandipani Muni came out to find them. And he was so grateful that they had gone to such endeavor to serve the guru. And Krishna was thinking of how Sudama Brahman had helped him serve the guru. And Sudama Brahman was so thankful to be there with Krishna and so much in love with Krishna that he forgot about two things. He forgot about asking any benediction from Krishna, and he forgot about giving the chipped rice to Krishna. But Krishna says, what is that you have there? Oh, nothing, nothing, he says. It's nothing of any value. Because he's embarrassed. How can I give him that? embarrassed to give him that. I just can't do it. So Krishna says, let me have some of that. He grabs it and he eats a piece of the chipped rice. And then he goes to eat the rest. And Rukmini says, no. If you eat the rest of it, then as the goddess of fortune, I won't be able to repay the Brahmins as much as all you've done. So don't eat the rest. So then, Sudama Brahman was feeling two things. He was so in love with Krishna, and he was embarrassed that Krishna took this chipped rice. And on the way home, he was thinking about how embarrassed he was to have given Krishna this chipped rice, and how glad he was to see Krishna, and how much in love with Krishna he was. But what did he forget? He forgot to ask something from Krishna. So, of course, he didn't ask something, he didn't get anything, right? He wasn't thinking about whether he'd get anything or not. But when he got to his house, he noticed his house was missing. Where did my house go? And what's this palace doing here where my house used to be? So out came his wife, and his wife came out looking very beautiful and says, look what's happened here. Krishna has benedicted us by turning our house into a palace and making me very beautiful, and you come down and bathe with me in the lake. And he went and bathed in the lake. And when he went and bathed in the lake, he was given a younger body. So we see that what happens when people make the endeavors. We also look at the difficulty here that's happening when Diti is thinking. You know, we think, what is the difference between selfless and selfish motives? What is the difference, and how can the result become different? We look in these different stories, the difference with those in selfish motives and selfless motives. Hiranyakashipu did all of his austerities so perfectly, but because of his motives, he got his wish, but it still didn't work out for him, did it? And Sudama Vipra only had one little thing to take to Krishna of no value, and he forgot to ask for a benediction, and yet he was given everything, materially and spiritually. And this tells us something. And also we look what happens when we deviate. You know, Krishna says that if you've done devotional service, he will never forget you. But if you're performing karmakanda and you deviate, you might be a lizard or something else. It shows that a different result can come when you deviate. It shows us how we have to ask the prayers correctly. The one person is going, oh, Radha, Radha. And the person is hearing Radha, Radha. But he's thinking of the wife of the barber, who is a very beautiful woman named Radha. So when he hears the name Radha, he is thinking of the wife of the barber, and he is becoming lusty instead of thinking of Radha. So we have to be careful when we perform our devotion. Now one devotee was about to die, and he was chanting. And the two Yamadutas came to get him. He said, you can't take me away. I'm a devotee. Only the Vishnu Dutas can come to get me. You can't take me away. So the Yamadutas went away, and he kept chanting, and they came back. He says, how can you come back again? And the Yamadutas says, well, you've been calling us all your lifetime. He says, how have I been calling you? Well, the one Yamaduta says, my name is Nish Nish, and this is my partner, Na Na. And all the time you're chanting, Nish Nish Na Na, Nish Nish Na Na, Nish Nish Na Na, Nish Nish Na Na. So you know about May, the devotees are chanting, air, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, air warmer, air warmer. And the air gets so much warmer in May, yes? But they're chanting, air warmer, air warmer, yes? So then they chant, air conditioner, and it cools down in January. So, you know, we have to be careful what the result we get. You know, if our intention is good, Krishna may still hear it. This is why languages like Chinese and Thai are difficult. Because you say the word ma or ma or ma, it means something different. And the one devotee asked a question and got hit in the mouth because he ended up saying something bad. So it shows us a few careful things here. So judging on this, which one is important? Is it the intention that we have? Is it the action we take? Or is it the result? Or is it two or three or all of those? Which is the most important? Which one? Intention may be important. Anything else? Action, yes, because if we just take the action, but we don't know why we're doing it. Say I get in a car and I drive. But if I don't know where I'm going, will I get there? If you don't know where you're going, it's very difficult to get there. Because how will you get there? I don't know where I'm going. Am I there yet? Well, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But if it's just intention, they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The person in the mode of ignorance, his determination never goes beyond dreaming. So I say, my chanting is better than yours, because I don't chant at all today, but tomorrow I'm going to chant 32 rounds every day. So my chanting is better than yours, right? No, the intention, you have to act on the intention. We can't just have the intention, right? So both of those things are important. What about the result? Do we work for the result? What do we call someone who works for results? Karmis. So is that the best thing? So it means we want no result for Krishna? Is that what it means? It doesn't mean that. We want a result for Krishna, but we are not working for the result. Just like Sudama Vipra, he wanted to please Krishna, but he didn't feel he had any real means to Krishna. So he wasn't worried about any result for himself. So we perform our projects in devotional service wanting results for Krishna. But if results are not provided, we know that just by doing the service that we are happy. Sometimes Krishna seems to make things harder than they should be and sometimes easier than they should be. So we have to remember these things carefully and see here how that if we are friends of the demigods and the devotees, like the prayer is being said for Diti, then we will probably not want to offend them and it will save us from any difficulties. Are there any questions or comments on this verse? Yes? In the back, want to take a microphone to her?
Thank you for the enlightening class. So, about the results. Actually, are we going to get the spiritual results? This means that we're working for the results. So if we, for example, wanting to please Krishna, this is actually the result too, isn't it?
Yes. The difference is when we are working for fruitive results, something comes later. But if we are trying to please Krishna, then the result and the action are the same thing. It's like if my result is to cook for someone, then just by cooking for them, automatically the result is achieved. It doesn't mean that we don't want to have results like distribute so many books, or that we build temples, or we get people to chant Hare Krishna. But these are the results we offer to Krishna. The spiritual result is that we are trying to please Krishna through our actions. And when we do that, the result and the action are non-different. When we are looking for some benediction, this is where we also judge the difference. Am I looking just to please Krishna and leave the result up to him? Or am I asking for some result, and is that result going to be difficult? So if the result is difficult or has some adverse effects, that's going to be really bad. But even if the result is something good, like we say, okay, I go to the temple and I pray that I will get more money so that I can put my children through education, and I pray that my children will have healthy babies, and I pray that so many things for ourselves, at least we're approaching a spiritual God, Krishna. But if we're approaching Krishna, who's all spiritual, but we're having a material relationship with him, then it's not going to be the same as if we want to please Krishna. Because we want to please Krishna, then he will want to please us. He says that as you surrender unto him, he rewards you. So if someone comes and asks a few benefits, they may get something. But they're not going to feel the same kind of satisfaction, the same kind of pleasure that they would get from just trying to please Krishna. So in that case, when we are working for Krishna, the service is the result. And the results may come when Krishna wants them to. But in this case, we see Diti is asking for something different. This is why this gets more tricky. If the action is to please Krishna, and I'm trying to distribute books or collect money for a temple, but somehow it doesn't work that day, but if I'm trying to please Krishna, then I get the spiritual result. But if my action is to get the result to get a son who will kill Indra, or to get something who will cause harm to others, it may be difficult to get. It may take time. And even if I do, it may cause some problem. You know, we may have many difficulties in life getting what we want. And we pray to Krishna for what we want. But is there a prayer we can pray to Krishna to get to make everything happen the way we want it to? Is there? Yes? Yes, there is a prayer. If we say, Krishna, today I have a wish. My wish is that everything will happen the way you arrange it to happen. Then I get my wish. So as long as I make my wish in connection with what Krishna wishes, I'm going to be okay. But if I ask Krishna for a list of other things, it may not work that way, right? It's not like George Carlin, the comedian, must have heard this from Prabhupada. He said the shopkeeper is thinking, please, make sure that my shop is locked so no thief can get inside. And the thief is thinking, please make the shop unlocked so I can get in to steal something. And the comedian says, what is the use of being God if you don't know what to do until someone prays to you and gives you instructions? And then you get contradictory instructions and you get confused. He said, what would be the use of being God if this is the way it is? So it's not like Krishna is wondering what to do, waiting for us to pray to him for something. So that is why we do the things when we're chanting. We're just thinking about the chanting. And we're trying to perform the service. It's the service that's important. Even though we want the books to be distributed or we want the temple to be built, the immediate result is we are doing those things to please Krishna. And the more that we get involved in selfishness, the more difficult it will become, and the more mixed the results that will become, and the more we get involved in selflessness, just like trying to please Krishna. We look at Sudama Vibra. He needed so many things, but he didn't really have any result in mind. He didn't perform the thing in such a way or ask that he would get something. He didn't ask for any benefit. And he wasn't even concerned with the benefit. The real benefit was that he was in love with Krishna and he gets to serve Krishna and express that love. So that's the benefit and the result. And through these stories we can see that that can be much easier achieved and the value is much greater than trying to do some heavy sacrifices to get some benefit, either to go to a heavenly planet or to benefit family members, or to harm somebody. These things, the benefits are limited and temporary, and they're also very troublesome. Just like if you conjure up the demon to go kill someone, and he can't kill them, then he has to come back and kill you. This isn't the kind of result that you're looking for. If you're serving Krishna, and the real result doesn't work out, the action you're trying to perform, you get the spiritual result because the action was to please Krishna. And you get that result whether it's a success or a failure. But in some of these actions, the risk of failure is so great. So in devotional service, you get success when it becomes successful And you get success even when your endeavors don't make a material fruition. Is there one more question? Yes, sir. Take a microphone.
Hare Krishna, Guru.
Hare Krishna.
First, I must apologize for asking a Chinese question. My question is that you explain three things: intention, action, and result. Results somehow depend on your intentions and actions. But many times in life it happens that your intentions are perfect, your actions are perfect, but you do not get the desired result.
That is why we do it in a matter of service. Because if all of those are correct, and I'm doing it for Krishna, I'm getting the result. Even I'm getting the spiritual result of serving Krishna, even if my actions don't bring fruition. That's the wonderful magic of serving Krishna, is that even if those we were just discussing, even if the things we were trying to do for Krishna don't turn out, the real goal was that I was doing them to satisfy Krishna, and Krishna was happy that we tried to satisfy them. Like the one devotee was so happy that he was going to serve the bananas to Krishna, but in his ecstasy he was giving Krishna the peel and throwing away the bananas. Was Krishna happy with this? The result didn't come good. He's giving Krishna a banana peel, but Krishna was so happy with the love that's involved. So what we have to remember is that that is the real result we want, is that our intention should be to serve and love Krishna, and our action should carry along those lines. And when that happens, the result of satisfying Krishna is more important than whether the things work out or not. Sometimes they don't work out. But if we satisfy Krishna and we go back to Godhead, and the spiritual world we say, yes, but when I was serving Krishna, I wasn't able to finish the temple I wanted to finish or distribute as many books as I want, but you ended up back in the spiritual world with Krishna. Did it work out? Right? Did it work out? It did work out. So that's what we have to remember. That's the real result we want. The result we want is to please Krishna, not to get something for ourselves. So it's 9 o'clock. We'll end there. Thank you so much. I'll miss you all in Vrindavan. Pray for me that I will be able to return to Vrindavan next year. Thank you. Hare Krishna.